You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And we invite you to listen each and every week online at wdiy.org, wdiy.org. Especially helpful for people outside of our listening area. You just go online, click listen online. If you are not currently a member of WDIY, you can certainly find information on the website as well to become a member. And we welcome you. Today is September 19th, 2012. It's a gorgeous evening. I still hope that you stay tuned and give us some calls tonight. I kind of have an open slate this evening. I had a really busy day, and my brain's been going 100 different places, if you could only see inside my brain. So I welcome you guys to call this evening. If you have questions about some financially related topic that is important to you, to maybe resolve something, make a decision, get some information, I would be happy to kind of help frame out some of your issues for you if you'd like. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. The markets were up today, a little bit flat. The Dow closing at 13,577, the S&P at 1461, and the NASDAQ at 3182. So last week we had a review of prior month topics. You know, some of the topics that we've talked over the past several months, which are quite varied, and the best takeaways from those shows. So I hope that that was informative to some of you. Tonight, I want to discuss in between calls. If you have questions, you're welcome to give me a call. I could take a whole hour of just answering questions. It's my favorite thing to do. But in between that, the topic I thought I would touch on are multi-state tax issues and inheritance tax issues. Now, many of you might think, oh, time to change the channel, listen to something else, because maybe multi-state tax issues don't impact you, or you think they don't impact you. Well, we're going to talk about that and why maybe it's important for you to pay attention to these nuances of multi-state tax issues. I also want to discuss briefly unclaimed property, and what that means and what it might mean to you. In the old days, when I first heard about this, we actually called it escheat, and you had to really listen carefully to understand what the pronunciation of that word was and what it meant, escheat. Something would escheat to the state. And what that would mean is if you had some bank account, perhaps, that you had forgotten about and the bank loses touch with you and it's been more than 5 years, the bank would be required to turn that account balance over to the state. Well, it's not just bank accounts. It could be checks that have not been cashed. It could be property that's not been claimed. It could be refund balances sitting somewhere at a store. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and make sure that you're aware of it and what you can do about it. It's really quite fun looking it up. So we will talk about that, especially when you find your name on the list and there's something you can claim. Anyway, we are live tonight. Andrea is in the studio with us tonight, and she will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I will do my best to answer them. I realized I didn't bring my handy dandy tax resource guide, so hopefully we won't have too specific of questions that I might just know all this from my memory. Anyway, phone number this evening, 610-758-8810. Okay, multi-state tax issues and inheritance. Okay, why are we talking about this? There are a number of reasons that people need to be aware of some issues that might come up during your lifetime that pertain to, you know, other states. So you may work in another state, your spouse may work in another state, you might have kids who go to college in another state. Maybe they get a work study job, they get wages, they're working in another state. You might own property in another state. You might have rental properties in another state. You could inherit something. Maybe your parent or your sibling or that very nice friend of yours left you something. You inherited it, but they lived in another part of the country. There are a number of events that happen in our life that could affect us where we may have to be aware of rules that apply in another state different than our own. When you do income tax returns like I do, I am very aware of all the different rules that every state has for filing income tax returns. And if you've never lived in another state or you've never had to file another income tax return, you may not even realize it. You work your whole life in Pennsylvania, you retire, you're living in Pennsylvania, you know that Pennsylvania doesn't tax your retirement account, you file your tax returns, this is great, you're not paying any income tax, you decide to move to another state. You move to Florida. Great, Florida doesn't have any income tax either. But what happens if you move to Michigan or New York? What happens? Is the retirement account taxable then? You might not even have a choice about where you end up moving in your retirement. Maybe you are elderly and now you have to rely on your children to help with your caregiving. And you've lived in Pennsylvania your whole life, but your children live in New York. And you find yourself moving to New York. It would be important when you're making these kinds of decisions. Should I move with my children? Should I not? What are the consequences? I think it's really beneficial if we make sure that we understand what could happen to our cash flow, etc., by kind of moving around the country or working, living, buying things, etc. So I just kind of want to go over some of the nuances of that. If you do have questions this evening, you can call in at 610-758-8810. In doing some of the numbers for the show, there is a website that I refer to quite often, kind of for general information. I don't think, you know, I'm not telling you to necessarily rely on this website, and I think they themselves also have a disclaimer. But what's nice is to find one place that kind of gives you a good reference, especially for those people who might be considering moving to another state. It could give, and you have options, you know, maybe you could go to Arizona or you could go to New Mexico. You just want to be somewhere in the Southwest. Well, this is a website that I have found that kind of gives you an overview of all the different types of taxes you might have in the various states. And the website is called retirementliving.com. retirementliving.com, and it has a nice summary of all those different taxes that the various states impose. And again, I just kind of use it for reference, but I think it can help people at least begin the process of making some of these decisions that they need to make in their financial decisions. And then if based on that, you feel like you're going to go one direction, then I recommend, you know, working with a planner or an accountant to kind of verify, confirm your understanding of the situation, maybe even run tax projections for what your tax return might look like in another state, if whether you're going to go work there or you're going to go live there or if you're going to retire there. And also being aware of those, the tax rules, if you have, for example, college-age children as well working in different states because they're there for school. So what kind of taxes are we talking about? Well, sales tax could, you know, make a difference for some people if they are, you know, maybe going into business or doing something, or they're young and they're in that phase of life where they're purchasing, buying all kinds of things for their house. Sales tax, income tax. Income tax can make a big swing depending on what state you end up living in. As I said, Florida, no income tax. Property taxes, you can have very varied property taxes depending on what state you live in, and in fact where you live in that state. An inheritance tax, not quite something that we hear about as often as maybe, you know, a couple dozen years ago, but inheritance tax still exists, especially for people in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So it's important to understand what is involved there, or if you're inheriting assets from other places. So these taxes are based on where we live, buy, work, own, and die. So when we come back from the break, we will talk a little bit more in depth about those different taxes and how they might affect you. Phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Ever wonder what it would be like to sit down and chat with Terry Gross? Well, here's your chance. WDIY is hosting a special meet-and-greet champagne reception with Terry on Saturday, October 27th from 5 to 6 p.m. at Blue Event Center in Bethlehem. Terry will be there to sign autographs, take photos, and chat a bit with each of the attendees. Tickets are very limited, so reserve yours today. $50 per person includes hors d'oeuvres and champagne. Call or email the station to reserve your spot. More information online at WDIY.org.
And welcome back to the show, folks. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are, and you are listening to Your Financial Choices. The phone number this evening, if you have questions, 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And our topic this evening, and again, you can always call and ask questions off topic, but the topic this evening is multi-state taxes and inheritance tax. And then I also want to talk about unclaimed property as we get toward the end of the show, or at least as we close out our discussion about multi-state taxes. We will start by looking at the different types of taxes. We said were sales, income tax, property tax, inheritance tax. So let's look at sales tax. And let's first look at the sales tax in our, you know, states where we are, Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And sales tax in Pennsylvania is 6%, and that excludes food, clothing, textbooks, heating fuels, prescription, and non-prescription drugs. Those are exempt from sales tax. Now, let me make a note about this. If anyone who prepared their own PA-40 this year, their income tax return, saw something new that we hadn't seen before, there's something called a use tax. That is a sales tax, folks. That is a sales tax that you have not paid on purchases that you made either over the internet or in another state. So if you purchased something in a state that had a sales tax less than 6%, excuse me, then Pennsylvania says you need to report the difference of what you didn't pay to Pennsylvania. So if you buy something in a state that has a 4% sales tax, and I don't, let's see if I can find one that had a 4% sales tax. We have a 3% sales tax in Montana. So if I bought something in Montana with a 3% sales tax and in Pennsylvania it's 6%, Pennsylvania asks us to report the difference and pay that tax with our PA-40 tax return. Now, a lot of people don't understand, though, that there are certain things that are exempt. So if someone is ordering textbooks online, and we know that this was one of the big things that caused this use tax to kind of come to the forefront now, is that with vendors like Amazon who do so much selling online where the sales tax is not being collected and all of these states were losing out on the sales tax, that's why they made sure this use tax, which had always been around, they made it much more obvious for us and put it in our face and said we have to sign a tax return under penalties of perjury saying that we have paid our sales tax or not. Okay, so when people are making purchases online and not paying any sales tax, we need to report that, pay the sales tax with our Pennsylvania return. But how many of you know what's really exempt? And did any of you realize that textbooks would be exempt? When we think about a vendor like Amazon and its book selling, and we just get a printout from them and here are all the books that we bought online and we go and we pay the sales tax on it with our PA40 tax return, you have to know that textbooks would be exempt. So I'm just pointing that out, that you have to be aware of some of the underlying rules for your state and what is exempt. So Pennsylvania is 6% and New Jersey has a, let's see, what is New Jersey sales tax? 7%. I don't buy in New Jersey, so I wouldn't know that. So the state sales tax is 7% in New Jersey, and exempt from that is food, prescription drugs, non-prescription drugs, clothing, and footwear. All right, so they do not mention textbooks. Now, the only thing I don't know about New Jersey is if they have a use tax or not. I am not sure if I have seen that yet. I'll have to make sure I pay attention to whether or not they have that. So sales tax, when you go to another state now to buy something, thinking you're going to save sales tax, you don't have that incentive that you used to have, maybe thinking you're saving something because now you're required to pay it and report it in Pennsylvania. All right. And how would they find out if you're not doing it? I suppose they could do an audit. I don't know how else they would find out. So you're signing a return under penalties of perjury saying that you've reported all of it. So just keep track of it, be aware of it, or shop within Pennsylvania and then you don't have to worry about it. All right. Income tax. Income tax. Now, I'll give you just a quick overview on the income tax for Pennsylvania and New Jersey, but more importantly, I want to talk about why it's important to know about income tax and the types of income that is taxed, because it can make a difference in your later years if you move. So as a Pennsylvania resident, you just need to be aware of how your income is being taxed, such that is there something you need to keep track of maybe? It depends. Do you need to keep track of your 401k contributions? It might depend. So let's look at income tax broadly. Pennsylvania income tax, the personal income tax, is 3.07%. And that income tax applies to things like wages, self-employment income, interest, dividends, rental income, capital gains. Basically, most income you think of, but it is not subject to retirement income. Your retirement income is not subject to the 3.07%, assuming you qualify that you're of age, you're 59 and a half, you're not taking early distributions unless there's some other exception that would apply. So this is something really important to know, that for Pennsylvania, your retirement income is not income taxed. And why is that? It's because when you are putting money in your retirement account during your working years, you're not getting a tax break on that. So when I put $10,000 into my 401k, and let's pretend for simplicity, I make $10,000 a year. If I make $10,000 a year and I put $10,000 into my 401k, for federal purposes, I have zero wages because the federal government gives us an exemption on monies we put into our retirement account if we're doing it on a pre-tax basis. So I have zero income for federal, but Pennsylvania would tax me on my $10,000. If the next year I retire and I take the $10,000 out of my retirement account, for federal purposes, now is when I pay income tax on that. For Pennsylvania, I don't have to because I've already paid tax on it. And if it's money out of our 401k, out of 403b, those types of vehicles, then even the earnings aren't income taxable for Pennsylvania purposes. Okay, so we do get a little bit of a benefit there. I'll tell you, when I first moved to Pennsylvania in 1988, was it? In 1988, I actually wrote a letter to the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue because I didn't like their tax returns. And it was very confusing because when you're trying to kind of reconcile between your federal income and what's taxed and your Pennsylvania income and what's taxed, it gets really crazy and it actually doesn't make any sense. And I can explain that. We're getting ready for a break, so I don't want to get into that too much right now. But when we come back from the break, I'm going to explain why I can't stand the Pennsylvania income tax returns when we're trying to reconcile them to federal. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. We are talking a bit about multi-state tax issues and inheritance, and I'm trying to kind of set the stage for why we need to pay attention to our own state's income tax rules such that if at some point in time we either move, work in another state, our kids work in another state, or we inherit from another state, that you understand some of the tax implications that will affect you. So it's about awareness and why in this great country of ours, people move around all the time. It's a very transient society. We move for health reasons. We move for jobs. We move for family. So we really need to understand our own personal situations and the taxes that affect us at, you know, depending on what state we're in. So I was just mentioning about Pennsylvania and how Pennsylvania does not follow the federal return. There are a lot of states that will start the page one of their tax return with page one of your federal 1040. So there are a lot of states that will start with page one of your federal income tax return and then maybe adjust for things like Social Security or itemized deductions and things like that. Pennsylvania isn't one of those states. New Jersey isn't one of those estates. So you need to know how these different items of income get taxed. Now, I had mentioned at 3.07% income tax for Pennsylvania. The one nice thing about Pennsylvania is it's flat, that there's no brackets. Because when we look at a lot of other states, and New Jersey is one of them, there are brackets. So that kind of makes it a little bit more confusing for people sometimes to kind of be able to estimate what their taxes are. One of the things that really kind of throws me off for Pennsylvania, the reason I got upset when I first moved here. Let me see if I can paint this picture. If you have a stock portfolio and you sell a bunch of positions and you have a $30,000 loss on your portfolio and you recognize those losses for whatever reason, you just wanted to dump them, maybe you did it for tax planning purposes, so you have a $30,000 loss on your stock portfolio. On your federal return, if you don't have other gains to offset those losses, the IRS lets us use $3,000 of loss in the current year, and then we can carry forward the losses to future years indefinitely. They let us use those losses indefinitely. So if in a subsequent year the market swings back and now we have a bunch of gains, yay, we had those losses from the prior year. We have the gains from this year. We can offset those. In Pennsylvania, if I generate $30,000 worth of losses, of capital losses in my stock portfolio, I can't use that to offset any of my other income. I can't use it to offset $3,000. I can't use it to offset capital gain distributions from mutual funds because those get reported as dividends. And I not only can't use them, I can't carry them forward. That seems like a little tough to take. So they kick you when you're down. You don't get to use those losses. you poor thing, you lost all that money and you get nothing for it in Pennsylvania. But if in the next year, I told you my portfolio recovered and now I recognize $30,000 worth of gains, in Pennsylvania, they're going to tax me for $30,000. It just doesn't seem right. I that's why I would like to propose that they follow the federal, you know, methods. The other thing that kind of bothers me is it is what it is. I just want you to be aware of it. So let me take my opinion back out of it and just try to make you aware of what you have to know. For Pennsylvania, also, if you have rental property, you know what happens with rental properties? If someone's renting, they invest in a new building, they start renting it. And in the initial years, what happens quite often is you're really almost not making any money. If you have a mortgage and you're doing all kinds of repairs, maybe you don't have good renters yet. So what happens quite often in the initial years of having an investment property in real estate, there's losses. The federal government lets us use those losses. There might be some limitations if our income is too high. And if our income is too high and they limit us, then they're suspended and they carry forward until we can use them or we dispose of the property. So that's the federal government. In Pennsylvania, if I have all those losses in the initial years, I lose those too. And I can't use my rental losses against my interest income, against my wages, against any of that. So there is a little bit of an offset on federal. I'm simplifying things. That you might qualify for. But on Pennsylvania, you can't use those losses at all because Pennsylvania has classes of income and you can't offset one class of income against another. Okay? So what happens then, you have all these losses that have built up. Finally, your property starts making money and now you go to sell it. And on the federal return, if I had losses that were suspended and built up, again, the IRS lets us use those passive losses against the income. On the Pennsylvania, I don't get them. Now I pay tax on all the income. So when you're looking at buying rental real estate, maybe you need to look at where you're buying it, because it might make a difference to you if you wanted to do investment property. Maybe you don't want to own it in Pennsylvania if that's how that's going to go. You could, because what's going to happen if you own real estate in another state, you're going to file a tax return for that state. So if I have a rental property in New York, even though I live in Pennsylvania, then I'm going to file a New York non-resident tax return, and I'm going to have a rental schedule for New York, and I'm going to report my income, my expenses in New York. Okay? What would happen if I had income in New York from that rental property? Pennsylvania says, well, we want to know about income, but they'll give us a credit for any taxes that we've paid to the other state. All right? So that's one of the other reasons you have to understand what complications or what effect you might have if you're looking to do business in other states, if you're going to buy property in other states. So just looking at income tax, and then I'll talk a little bit more about having property in other states as we go through the show. But let's go back just to income tax for a moment. Pennsylvania, flat 3.07%. New Jersey has graduated brackets. And the tax rate range is 1.4% and can go as high as 8.97%. Their income brackets are lowest to $20,000 and the highest to $500,000. So I imagine anything over $500,000 is probably the 8.97, and anywhere in between, it depends on what bracket you're in. There are six brackets. New Jersey does have exemptions, unlike Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania doesn't have exemptions. Pennsylvania does give us a deduction, though, for contributions to college savings plans, 529 accounts. So if you are someone who's listening to the show and you are putting money into a college savings account for your child, it doesn't matter what state the plan is in. So that if you have a Virginia plan, a Nevada plan, and you're putting money into that plan, and you have income that you're paying tax on in Pennsylvania, then you could get a deduction up to $13,000 per person, up to that amount of income that you might have. So if I make $13,000 a year in Pennsylvania and I put $13,000 into a 529 for my child or my grandchild or my niece, if I put money into a 529 and I have $13,000 of earnings and I put $13,000 into the plan, I get a deduction and I would pay zero income tax. If I only put $5,000 into the plan, I get a $5,000 deduction. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. We have to take a break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. You can call in live and we can kind of go back and forth with your questions. Or if you're not comfortable talking on air, you can give your question to Andrea and she will write it down and she will bring it in to me. It doesn't have to be about taxes. It can be about retirement accounts, inheritance, estate planning, retirement planning, whatever you like. It is a gorgeous evening, so I appreciate the folks who are listening on such a beautiful night. And I do welcome your calls, 610-758-8810. We're talking about multi-state tax issues and just trying to make you aware of a few of the things that you should be. And we talked a bit about sales tax and now income tax and the higher rates. So you just need to know what rates might apply. If you're thinking about moving to another state or establishing residency in another state, you want to weigh the balance. Now, let me give you another example that might have more of an impact. For example, I had said that if you work in Pennsylvania and you have wages and you're putting money into a 401k plan, you're not getting a deduction for that on your tax return. You're paying income tax on that money all those years of working. Let's say you build up your 401k to, I'll try to give you a reason. Well, I'll give you the example I had because I had a client that this happened to. Built up the 401k to $1 million in Pennsylvania. Paid taxes on all that money he put in, not the earnings, but he paid taxes on all that money. If he had remained a Pennsylvania resident and he started withdrawing the money from the 401k, which is now a rollover IRA, he rolled over the 401k to an IRA. If he stayed in Pennsylvania and started taking out the $1 million, you know, $100,000 a year for 10 years, he wouldn't have paid any income tax on that money. Because IRA withdrawals are not subject to income tax in Pennsylvania. $100,000 out, no income tax for Pennsylvania. Now remember, he's paying income tax on that for federal purposes, but Pennsylvania doesn't follow federal. My client decides to move to Ohio to be with family. Nicest guy in the world. Loves the family. Sweet. I asked him, please don't move yet. Please don't move yet. Let's convert your IRA. Let's take withdrawals out of your IRA before you move. Let's do something. Had to move. He moves. He now lives in Ohio. He's paying Ohio income tax. He's paying Ohio income tax. And Ohio, where he lives, also has a school district tax. Similar to, you know how we have the local earned income tax? But he has a school district tax, and it's not on the earned income. It's based on his tax return, and his tax return in Ohio is based on the federal tax return, which taxes the retirement account. So now my wonderful client is paying income taxes in Ohio on all of his IRA distributions, and the tax rate range in Ohio goes from 0.587% to 5.925%. So you go from having to pay nothing in Pennsylvania to almost 6% in Ohio, and that doesn't include the school district tax. So when I talk about making sure you know where you're going and what you're doing and you're planning, you kind of want to think about these things. So let's pretend you're someone listening. You're thinking about retiring somewhere. I want you to thoughtfully think about where it is you're moving and what the impact is going to be. Because if you think you're living on a certain budget and you haven't factored in that you might be paying 6% in income tax, maybe even higher where you're going, you just need to be aware of that so you can adjust for it and make sure that you, you know, are ready. All right. Now, New Jersey has some exemptions for retirement accounts, but not in full. And New Jersey, this is really crazy because here's the thing in New Jersey. I don't know how anybody in New Jersey figures this out. What happens with New Jersey is if you have a 401k and you're putting money away every year, you are supposed to be tracking that. And I don't know how many people really are, but you're supposed to be tracking that because your original contributions are deemed to be to come out first, and then those wouldn't be income taxable, but the earnings are going to be taxable. I don't know how many people keep track of that. And frankly, I don't know how New Jersey monitors that either. But they also have an exemption. Oh, and this probably wouldn't have been such a big deal, you know, years and years ago. And maybe that's why they haven't changed this or realized the impact this could have. Think about it. 30 years ago, not everybody had 401ks. 401ks were newer. We went from having pension plans to 401k plans. People had to get talked into saving money in their own retirement account in a 401k. So 30 years ago, there probably weren't people that had that much money in 401ks. So it wasn't as big of a deal. And there's this exemption in New Jersey for pensions and things like that. Social Security's not taxed. But the rules are so different in New Jersey, too, that you have to be really careful when you go to do your income tax return. And New Jersey, different than Pennsylvania, New Jersey also gives a deduction for medical expenses. So for people who are living in New Jersey, if you haven't been keeping track of those and you're filing an income tax return, you really need to start paying attention to what those are, because if you can get an extra deduction on your tax return that you might not otherwise have realized or thought about, or you don't think you want to go through the steps, or maybe you don't itemize for federal, so you don't realize that, you know, you might have some benefit of those medical expenses for New Jersey, you need to go through the calculations. So just be aware of that. Another important element when we're talking about the various states, we talked about if you have something like deferred compensation too, and this is a little bit more complicated, so I'm not going to get into it totally, but if you're working at an employer that gives you something called deferred compensation, meaning you're earning some wages and you decide, hey, you know what, I want to defer paying taxes on that today, they might have a plan where you can do that. So if I earn $100,000 and my employer says you can defer some of those wages if you want, and you say, okay, great, I'll defer $10,000, then maybe I'm not going to pay tax on that today. I'll pay tax on it when I take it out of the plan. That's how it would work for federal purposes. For state purposes, depending on what state you live in, it could be a very different taxation. It could be a very different result. In the old days, Pennsylvania taxed people on the deferred comp. They didn't let you get it tax deferred when you decided to do that for federal. And then they changed midstream. And now, since 2005, deferred comp in Pennsylvania isn't taxed. It's following the federal. And there's different elements of deferred comp. I'm being very general here, people. So if you do have a deferred comp plan, make sure you understand what yours is and the rules that apply to yours. But in general, deferred comp now follows the federal for Pennsylvania purposes. But unfortunately, there were people who straddled those years. So they may have a deferred comp plan that in the past they had already paid the taxes on the money, and now in the current years they haven't. So they're going to have to know what they have in the plan, their cost basis. You need to track it. So you've got to pay attention to that. So fast forward to you moving to another state. What we don't know is maybe when you go from Pennsylvania to another state like Delaware and Virginia or some other state, how are they going to tax your deferred comp or your pension? Virginia has a little caveat that says if you've already paid tax on some of these monies from in another state, there's like a little exemption for you. At least that's my memory. So you need to know if those rules apply to you, don't assume that the rules that you've had in Pennsylvania apply to other states or the rules that you've had in New Jersey apply. So you really want to make sure that you're paying attention and that you understand for yourself what is happening in particular with your retirement accounts and deferred comp, etc. Let me talk a little bit about inheritance tax and why this is important. And then as I kind of want to like round this up and kind of just make it some general statements about awareness and all the different impacts of these things, how they kind of all kind of come together. Inheritance tax, I mentioned, of the 50 states, I think about 13, don't quote me on this, about 13 still have some type of inheritance tax or estate tax. Pennsylvania does have an inheritance tax. It's based on who you are transferring the assets to. If you are transferring assets to a spouse, it's zero. If you transfer assets to a lineal, descendant, or ascendant, parents or children, the tax rate is 4.5%. If you are transferring assets at your death to siblings, it's 12%. And other relationships are at 15%. So if you move to Pennsylvania from another state that does not have inheritance tax, you might want to factor that into your planning. Maybe you need to do some gifting, you know, before you move or whatever. So Pennsylvania does have an inheritance tax. New Jersey also has an inheritance tax. If the assets are passing to, again, lineal descendants or ascendants, the tax rate is zero. But the tax rate can go as high as, what is it for New Jersey? I think it can go as high as 16%. It depends on what class of beneficiary you are. So if you are a class A, which is father, mother, those are the zeros. Class C is the brother or the sister. And the class C transfers, it depends on how much value there is in the assets that are being transferred. And that's where we can go from 11% to 16%. It depends on how much the value of the assets are. It goes up, it ratchets up. There is the first $25,000 is exempt. And then there are Class D beneficiaries, which are other transferees, meaning not those brothers or sisters or half-brothers or half-sisters. Like, I think step-sisters, you know, step-relatives, I think, might fall in the Class D category. And those rates are 15% on the first $700,000 and 16% over $700,000. So let's pretend you're someone who lives in Pennsylvania and you're thinking about becoming a New Jersey resident and you have a lot of assets and you're giving everything to your sibling. Well, maybe you want to think that through. Or if you're a New Jersey resident and you're giving everything to your children and you have, you know, $500,000 worth of assets and you're going to move to Pennsylvania, you have to be aware that now your $500,000 is going to be subject to 4.5% tax, and just be ready for that. Maybe that would impact your decision about where you might move. All right. Folks, we are getting ready for another break. When we come back, I'm going to try to give you one last example of how these taxes kind of work and interrelate. Feel like I'm all by myself out here tonight, Jeff. Jeff and I are all by ourselves out here, and Andrea, she's not even with us. She's in another room. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition, traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And we're back. If you have, this is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, we still have 15 minutes left. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I also wanted to mention that New Jersey not only has an inheritance tax, but they also have an estate tax. So for people who live in New Jersey, if you think this is great, everything's going to the children, it's zero inheritance tax, you might have to think again. And that's because there is something called the estate tax, which could apply even if assets are all passing to the children. So let's say we had mother and father. Father already died. Now mother has died. And mother has $2 million worth of assets that she's passing to her children. 0% inheritance tax. However, the New Jersey estate tax has to be calculated. And what that entails is actually going back, pulling out a federal estate tax return from 2001. Believe this or not, it's crazy to me. Pull out a federal estate tax return from 2001 and fill it out. And to the extent there was something back in 2001 called a state death tax credit. Excuse me. And the state death tax credit becomes the New Jersey estate tax. And it can add up, especially when you don't even realize you're subject to it. So you really need to make sure that you're working with, you know, a good attorney or a good executor who's aware of all these rules and be aware of these items. Now, quite often I'll have people call and they'll say, oh, my dad lives in New Jersey and I'm inheriting property. What inheritance tax do I have to pay in Pennsylvania? Well, if your father is a New Jersey resident and has New Jersey real estate and assets, etc., assets passed to you, let's say it's under the federal estate tax, or the estate tax, as I had mentioned earlier, he has property worth $600,000, and it's passing to you, it's zero inheritance tax. Just because you are inheriting something does not mean you pay an inheritance tax in the state where you live. So just because Pennsylvania has an inheritance tax and you inherit something, it does not mean that you personally are paying an inheritance tax. The people who pay the inheritance tax are the residents of the state if they have assets and they live in a state that has inheritance tax. So Pennsylvania residents have to file an inheritance tax return. And when they go through the numbers and calculate, you know, here's the assets, here are the deductions, here who it is transferring to, that's when you know if there's an inheritance tax and to whom it's going drives the rate. All right. If I have someone who dies in California, if I have a relative who dies in California and I inherit $100,000, I do not have to pay an inheritance tax on that. There's no inheritance tax in California, and I do not have to pay an inheritance tax just because I live in Pennsylvania. Now, if I have the $100,000 and I die, now my estate will have the inheritance tax to pay on that. All right? So let's sum this up for the evening. Basically, it's about awareness. It's about making sure that you understand tax rules as they apply to you, where you live. You need to be aware of the tax rules that might apply in other states because maybe you end up working in another state, you have real estate in another state. Now, let me just mention one thing. If I have a bank account in another state and I live in Pennsylvania, that doesn't count that I have to go file a tax return for that other state. When other states need returns, it's because either you're working there or you actually have real estate or a business. Some thing that ties you to the ground in that state, that's when you have to file those tax returns. There's certain states that have reciprocal agreements that you may not have to file a New Jersey return just because you work in New Jersey if your New Jersey employer withholds your Pennsylvania tax. So certain times you can work in another state and you don't have to file another state's return, but there are circumstances where you have to, so you want to be aware of that. If you have your children going off to college and they work part-time somewhere else, you might have to file a tax return for them for that state as a non-year resident if, for example, the employer withheld income tax. The only way you get those income tax back that were held in another state is if you file a return and say, oh, I'm a resident here, I didn't need to pay those there. Some states tax it differently. it all depends on what state you're filing. So make sure that you're taking care of that, not leaving money on the table. So speaking of money being left on the table, the last few minutes, I just want to talk a little bit about unclaimed property. Now, Jeff had just mentioned to me that there is a new book out and that it might even be on the bestseller list, Jeff said. And the book is Kevin Trudeau's Free Money Book. Now, I'm not sure what's in that book. I haven't seen it. I haven't read about it or anything like that. But I want to let people know that if you have something we're going to call unclaimed property, if you've left money somewhere, usually it's because you didn't realize it. People don't leave money just for fun. They usually don't realize it. But nowadays with the computer, it is so easy to find this out. So I'm not sure what additional information this gentleman has in his book, but I will mention a few things. For unclaimed property, you can go, first of all, you can Google it. You can say unclaimed property, Pennsylvania, unclaimed property, New Jersey. Now, what you want to make sure is that you're getting to a valid website. You don't want to pay people to help you find missing property if you don't have to. And you shouldn't have to. So the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue, it's the patreasury.gov. But again, by Googling it, that's usually the first site that comes up. If you Google unclaimed property Pennsylvania, that is going to be the first, usually I think it's the first link that comes up, and it's going to be the patreasury.gov. And you could go in there. Sorry, I'm giggling because I'm just one of these people who do weird things. When you open up the website, you can type your last name and then your first name, and it helps kind of define the list a little bit. But when you type your name in there, there will be a whole list of names and cities and a brief description of the value of the property and what it is. So you type my name, Lori Siebert, and up pops something. I couldn't believe it because I check this, you know, periodically, and up popped my name, and I didn't really know for sure the entity where the money was that I never claimed, but I knew it was me and it was my address, you know? And so I clicked on the link. There's a link for claim form, claimant information. So when you click that link, like, is this you? Yes. Up comes the claim form and you can fill in your name, your address, all the pertinent information. It's actually several pages. You may or may not need to have a notary. If you send a copy of your driver's license and other, you know, pertinent information that they might ask for, if you send all the valid information, you may not have to have a notary, but there are instances where you may have to have a notary. I think maybe if it's over $100. So basically what this claim will say is it'll say under $100 or over $100. Now mine was under $100, but I went ahead and filled out the form and you get a confirmation. If you have an email address, you can do it online. You still have to print off the paper, sign them, and mail them in. But you get an acknowledgement that they received it. And I don't know how long it took. It might have been a couple months at least. I got a check in the mail. So you have to make sure you watch for the check in the mail. Otherwise, it will, you know, stay with the state again. So I got a check in the mail. And what had happened was I apparently had a credit at a retail store, which I hadn't realized. So I must have bought something and returned it. And they gave me a credit. And I think I thought I just lost the credit. I just thought if I didn't come back within a certain period of time, it just kind of disappeared. I never imagined that it was something that would be subject to the escheat rules where the store had to return it to the state. So, and I think the check was about $90. So that was really fun. Well, then what happens is Lori just gets a big kick out of this. So I'll just type, like, you know, all my friends' names and I let them know, hey, Ray, did you know you got money down in Philly? Hey, Ivan, did you know you have money in Atlanta? So now the website I was talking about was the patreasury.gov website. But if you do unclaimed property, New Jersey, there will also be a link there. But these should be, you know, through the state. I don't think you really have to pay someone to help you. In fact, there is a question on there. Did you pay someone to help you find this? Are you paying a fee? But what you have to keep in mind is it takes 5 years before the person, the bank, the store, whoever has your money, they don't have to turn it over for, I think the period is 5 years, at least in Pennsylvania. So if you don't know, you might not even realize that you forgot about that bank account and you go on the unclaimed property site and your name doesn't show up. Well, maybe it's because it was only 4 years ago. It's not been 5 years yet, so it didn't hit the list. So you really kind of have to check periodically every so often. And if you do go on there, I also suggest that people look in case they have elderly relatives, you know, their grandmothers, their aunts, their, you know, single elderly family members who might not be in the right frame of mind. People who get dementia, they start hiding their checks and not cashing them, or they forget to open their mail, or they, you know, have it in a pile. So what happens is if you don't cash checks after a while, they accumulate. And again, let's say it's with a stock company, you own PP&L or something. And if they can't find you over time, those monies would escheat to the state, become unclaimed property, and then you need to file a claim form in order to get those. So make sure you check periodically. Again, I had checked. I wasn't on there. You know, sometime later I checked and boom, I was. So I think we had done that years and years ago, probably 20 years ago. We had some money left in a bank account in Michigan as well. So you want to make sure you're checking. So there is a website where you can go and check for any state in the country. I know that then it can take you to links for specific states, and Pennsylvania's for sure takes you to their state specifically. So I hope that's helpful, and you can always check out that book, Kevin Trudeau's Free Money Book, at least from the library. I don't know what is in it or if there is additional information. I will mention one other thing. If you had 401ks at companies in the past, this is something that Jeff had kind of mentioned that this gentleman had talked about in his book. In the past, 401k administrators could contact the IRS to see if they had any information on the participants in the plan. I do not believe, and in the past, I think the IRS would give that information to the administrator to help you, track you down. So let's pretend you worked in Michigan for 5 years, you had a 401k, you moved, you forgot about it, you never changed it, you never transferred it, you never updated your mailing address, and it's 20 years later. In the past, the administrator in Michigan could go to the IRS and ask them for your personal information to track you down and let you know you had this money in this 401k. And the IRS, I believe, would give that information to the administrator. And now they are not doing that anymore. So in particular, people should go back and look and see if they've hopscotched jobs, if they've, you know, changed jobs fairly often. Do not forget about those retirement plans that you had in the past. It might be pensions. It might not just be 401ks. You might be entitled to a pension that you had in a prior job. And it's especially important for elderly people or maybe people who are getting close to retire. If your children don't know that you had a pension from a job 20 years ago, you really need to have that written down somewhere, because if something happens to you and no one knows about it, you could be leaving money on the table. All right. Well, I got through that show. Sorry we didn't have any callers this evening. We certainly hope we have them next week, because next week I will be joined by Rod Young, who's a CPA and a CFP. He's the male Lori. And he's just going to come on the show for fun. We're just going to sit and banter back and forth about upcoming tax changes, things in 2013, what we know, what we don't know, and what is good tax planning. So I think Rod and I are just going to have fun, and you can listen in and, of course, call in with your questions next week and write that down. The phone number is 610-758-8810. So we look forward to that, and we hope you can all join us. And maybe that it won't be as nice out next Wednesday night, so we'll get lots of listeners. I want to thank Jeff for being here, Andrea, and listeners. Thank you for being there. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.